Hey folks, Brad here with the Maritime Paintball Podcast. If you're like me and you were big into the woods ball scene, then you've probably seen his name come up plenty. My guest tonight has inspired a huge number of players to mod their gear. He's worked on props for movies and has even worked closely with the West Point Military College. His name is Eric Angler, and he's the owner of Angler Custom Paintball Guns, and recently has become the owner of Command Decision War Games, the amazing field that hosts the famous Foldagap event. So, without further stalling, let's get into this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 285 of the Maritime Paintball Podcast. My name is Brad Odell, and with me I have the one and only Eric Angler from Angler Custom Paintball Guns. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Well, I don't know about honor, but thanks for coming on. It's actually, you know, I'm excited to talk to you about basically all the crazy stuff that you were building back in the day and talk about what's going on with your future as well. I didn't realize you had acquired Command Decisions War Game Center.
Command Decisions War Game Center, yep.
Yeah.
And I have the lease on what happens at the field. I don't own the property, but it's mine to do with what I wish, within reason.
Right. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. So that's going to be exciting. We're going to talk about a little bit about Foldagap, because you're involved with that as well, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, okay. I'm producing that.
See? And then, before we get too into the weeds here, folks, I'd like to, or I'd appreciate if you guys could share this around, get it out there, let everyone know what's going on, and before we kick everything off, I just want to shout out all the sponsors and all the folks that make this show possible. We'll get this real quick and we'll just pay the bills. PB Swag Bag, great company. They send out, cool paintball stuff to your house once a month. So you head on over to the website, pbswagbag.com. You can use the code MPP10, score yourself 10% off your first order. Try it out. If you don't like it, no big deal. You can always cancel. There's no commitment. Artful Dodger Beard Oil and Tattoo. Great guy. He's a maritimer like myself, and he makes amazing beard products. And if you don't have a big beard like mine, don't worry about it. He makes these great bars of soap, tattoo bombs, just all around great stuff. And he's a small operation, so please go check him out. It's artfuldodgerbeardoil.com. DefconPaintballGear.com. Great guys. They are your go-to stop for paintball gear. And they also do a supply drop, which is similar to the PB Swag Bag, but a little bit different. It's Canadian, which is really cool. And you can save 10% on I think, every one of them, actually, using the code MARITIMES. You can also save 10% on a ton of stuff on the website as well. So go check that out. It doesn't work on everything, but please try it. You might save yourself 10%. Tier 1 Armament, these guys are your tactical guys. They're your airsoft, real steel, at least for soft goods, not necessarily actual real steel. Coffee, sometimes, and a ton of MCS gear. So if you're wanting some MCS stuff, Tier 1 Armament is the people to talk to. Also, they've been a long-time sponsor of the show, so big, big shout-out to them. And finally, last but not least, to Patreon supporters, Matt, S. Matt O., Tim B., Scotian, Dr. Rush, Jeffrey, Ryan, Alex, and Tony, the real MVPs, the Patreon supporters. So if you're in a position to become a Patreon supporter, you can head on over to patreon.com/Maritime Paintball Podcast, and it's like as little as $1 a month if you feel up to it. If not, no big deal. Just, like and share the show and interact with us and comment and stuff, and that's pretty much just as good. Not quite as good. You know, the MVPs are the Patreon supporters. So, carrying on. Now that we've paid the bills, we can get into the nitty-gritty and get into the fun stuff. So, Eric, basically, you've been making custom paintball stuff for a while. How many years now?
Yeah. It started for myself in 2001 and as a business in 2004. So it's been a while, and I'm still making customs, so it's still happening.
Yeah. So you've been doing custom stuff since 2001. I'm totally unprepared. I didn't load up any of the photos. That's fine. I'm sure people have seen what you can make. Honestly, the photos really don't do it total justice, because the photos just look like regular guns. it's kind of hard to tell that it's a paintball gun inside that.
It's kind of funny because They're as close as we can get. So close as I just got back a bought back an MG42 that I built, and the guy had a tripod for it that I'd never tried to put one on, and he sold that back to me too. And I looked at it, and I'd gotten the dimensions right to within a half an inch, so I thought I was pretty good with that, and just off of photos.
Damn. All right then. How long have you been playing paintball, man? How long have you been in this glorious
First
sport of ours?
game happened in 1984.
Ah, right off the cusp, right as it started.
Nail spots, oil-based paints. We did happen to be doing this in the winter in Wisconsin in snow, so the balls weren't breaking. So we were picking them back up and shooting them at each other because they were cracked and then they'd break. And it was a buck around. So
So you
yeah,
made them
back
count.
then I took time off and went hydroplane racing for a bunch of years, and then came back in it would have been 99, 2000, something like that, and got back into it recreationally.
So,
So.
sorry, so you took a hold on, you took a vacation from paintball to do a hydroplane racing.
Yep, my father raced hydroplanes since the 50s, and basically small stuff, sportsman's racing, anything from 75 to 105 miles an hour on the water, laying on your stomach on a board, with 100 horsepower strapped to your back.
That sounds absolutely terrifying.
It's the most dangerous racing sport in the world.
I imagine. Jesus. That's wild. No, I'm not. Nope.
No, nothing like it.
I imagine. My God. So, okay. So you come back to paintball. You came back. What brought you back? What made you want to come back to play paintball?
I had to do something. My now ex-wife made me give up racing because it was that dangerous, and I had been hurt several times, and I had a daughter, Sarah, who is now 26 and plays paintball and is an awesome first strike sniper. So
There you go.
she shoots really good and is a leader and on the field too, so that's kind of fun. A bunch of friends got together, and where I was working at the time, and they wanted to go play paintball. I'm like, okay, cool, I'll go. But we didn't want to rent, so we all quickly purchased what we get our hands on. For me, it was a Pro Light, a Tippmann Pro Light.
Okay.
And for them, it was, oh, I think a Spider, and one of the guys had a Spider, and then that. Quickly thereafter, the A5 came out, and one of the guys grabbed an A5 first
Love my
week.
A5.
Yep, I've got serial number 147 hanging on the wall. So, yeah, first week production, and
Was gonna say,
she still
that's gotta
shoots
be like,
perfect.
yeah, that is. Oh.
Yep. So we all went out and played, and it was fun. And this kind of gets into the custom work. West Point. Was starting to put on paintball games, the actual West Point Military
I was going
Academy.
to say West Point, the college, the school.
Yes, the college. Yep, yeah, the
Oh,
Military Academy had was
that's
formed a paintball team, and in order to support that, they started putting on big games 2 a year. And the first one we went to was a fall game, and it was World War II based. So I took my Pro Light and quickly converted it into a Thompson submachine gun for their game, and went and played it. And I had fun, and I had the only custom out there, and everybody was oohing and aahing over this, Pro Carbine that was a Thompson, and I still have it. And then we played, and then that spring, they were doing a Vietnam game, so I quickly bought an AK-47 parts kit and turned that same Pro Carbine into an AK. And
Ooh.
went that summer or that spring and played their big game. And I think we had 500 people and playing in the Highlands of New York and on West Point grounds, which was just a blast. And caught their attention because now I had an AK. Five
That's
years
cool.
later, when one of those cadets graduated, I got a phone call from Fort Bliss, Texas. They wanted my paintball guns for training.
Ooh, that's cool.
That's when Engler Custom Paintball Guns was born. I quit my job and started the company.
I love he you got a military contract and then started the company.
Yes. Yeah, I
Just
actually
doing it
had
backwards.
five,
It's all good.
yeah, five separate military contracts because they were taking their sports money and buying training equipment. They didn't have a budget for training equipment, but they had recreational funds for sporting equipment. So they
Okay.
were buying custom. So they bought, oh, I think 300 M4s that I made, 150 AK-47s, and 50 M2 machine guns for convoy trucks.
For oh, dude, that is awesome.
So
Wow.
there's the company.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so were you making all these yourself? Like, how many did you have employees? How did you bang out that many?
My brother, who was would come over at night, and we would just start cranking things out.
Wow.
We did that first contract in 90 days.
90 days.
90 days.
That's wow. That's impressive.
Started the co company, made a phone call to Tippmann and said, "This is what I need, and it needs to come now." Ordered the parts kits, everything showed up, and we started cutting.
And just try to shut out of the box onto the bandsaw. Like it's I love it. That is awesome. So okay, that explains like how it all got started, because that was just one of the questions asked, and that's that was not expecting that story. That is awesome. That is amazing. I want to talk about one. So I was playing around on the website on your website, which was I'm trying to remember anglerpaintballguns.com.
AnglerPaintballGuns.com. Yep,
Angler, there we go.
AnglerPaintballGuns. Yep.
So I noticed one on there was the M3 grease gun, which
Yes.
looked really sharp, and I just wanted to pick your brain about that one. So can you explain that? Because when I was looking at it, the photo just looks like a grease gun. Like it
In
is.
that is a full metal airsoft grease gun that I cut up. I cut take comes in the airsoft gun, and inside there, squeezed in there, is a phenom.
You squeezed a phenom into that. Okay.
There's another gun on my site called the Minimalist Phenom. Basically,
Okay.
it's everything cut off of the phenom that isn't isn't necessary, and then they get squeezed into my customs.
Okay,
Uh,
okay.
so so that's uh, you know it's it, they're in most of my customs, simply
Nice.
because they fit rather well and can be converted rather well.
They're a great
So yeah,
marker.
so
I've
that
got one somewhere. I think it's actually in pieces, but
little birdie told me they're coming back this fall, but I didn't say that. Anyway, shh.
coming back. Oh, that's kind of cool.
I don't know if I was supposed to leak that, but anyway, too
It's
late. Oh
fine. Don't worry
well.
about it. Don't worry. Nobody watches this show. It's fine. Now watch me get a letter like a cease and desist from Tippmann. Ooh, just for like nostalgia's sake, I kind of want one. Of Phenom. I have one, but it's like I said, it's in pieces, and I don't know if I can put it back together the way it got taken apart.
So
We'll
send it to
see.
me.
That might be a thing, depending on what. Technically, it's not mine. Technically, it's my wife's. It's actually her first paintball gun. She won it at her first paintball game. Like, her name was drawn, which was hilarious because she was like, hopefully, she doesn't watch this show cause, episode. But she was tired, hungry, and cranky, and she won a t-shirt, and she was kind of moping of like, all I got was this stupid t-shirt, and just being, she admits that she was just being irrational because she was hungry and like low blood sugar and all that jazz. And then they called out her name that she won this phenom, and she's just like, oh my God, she had no idea what she had won. But like, she had no
That's
hold,
good.
she's holding the box, she doesn't know what a phenom is. She's like, this is great. And I'm like, yeah, it's actually a really great marker. Awesome. Now I don't have to buy you one.
I see Chad Bob there in chat wants to know what my favorite platform to modify is, and I
Yeah.
just mentioned it. It's the Phenom,
The Phenom.
and I just happen to have some to continue to make some mods, but until they produce them again. But actually, well. Can I go on to one of your other questions?
Yeah.
New things coming out.
Yeah.
My new favorite platform is the Eclipse MagFed.
I was gonna say it's gotta be it's the
EM, what is it now? EMF 100 or something like that? Eclipse
yeah, the
MagFed
Eclipse
100.
MagFed, yeah.
EMF 100. I made it before Simon Stevens and stuff was playing around and made his bare bones stuff. I took one and took everything off, and then that's what I was shooting, was just a bare bones minimalist, whatever, everything taken off of it. That was my personal marker for a while. And now I'm gonna make some customs. Gonna make a Browning BAR.
Oh, yes.
Because I think it'll be perfect. And looking at an M14
Oh,
and
the
maybe a
M14 would look
bullpup.
so good.
Yep, and maybe a bullpup.
Oh,
So.
that's the unicorn of the paintball world. Everybody wants a bullpup.
Yeah, yep.
You
Yeah,
know,
everybody
every
does. I've owned real ones and I hate them in real steel. Just
I've talked
despised
to
it.
yeah I've talked to guys who were in was it the British Army or the
Yeah,
British
the
Marines,
Brits have them. Yep.
and he's like, it's terrible. He's like, we hate it, it sucks, but some kind of contract got drawn up and we have to use these stupid guns. And it was like, okay, dude. Like he got aggressive. I guess I don't know, he said something about he had served alongside Canadians. It was jealous of the C-7. He's just like,
Yep.
he's like, this is what, he's like, I want that. And he's like, I'll trade you. So.
It's just nothing's where you're used to it being, and
No, it's all
yeah, it's just,
backwards.
yeah, and it's like, why is the mag way back there? And it just doesn't work. But it's, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so that's what that's what's on the platform along with everything else I have going on.
That's awesome. Yeah. And Chadbot even says in the chat series, is the EM of 100 is a modder's or a maker's dream. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, 'cause it's already, I mean, except for all the extra stuff they slapped onto it, but the actual like working internals of the EM of 100 are so well refined and minimalized already that it's all just self-contained. It's so there's, you could, I imagine, strip 90% of that marker away and it'll still work. Also, they're just deadly accurate.
Wait there.
Okay. We're gonna see. Neb, they're popular in France, explains a lot.
I guess they drop well. No, I didn't say that.
Oh,
Anyway.
it's so the mag ends up behind you while so you don't trip.
Okay. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's basically a barrel with a handle slapped on it. Like that's what
Yeah,
you've got there.
that's what it is. Yep. Just
Chad
happen to
wants
have one laying in the living room, but anyway.
just happened. You know what, man? I think my T15, yeah, my T15's currently under my coffee table. the wife's at basic training, so I'm living it bachelor style. It's great. It's a lot of frozen pizzas. Chadbot wants to know plans on modifying the lower to change the output of the air source, or will we wait and see?
We're going to wait and see, because I'm not so sure I want to get it that deep into that. We'll see. One of my, other than say my M1 Grand and things like that, my M14, my big thing is always to leave the input air where it was designed by the factory. Because if you move it, it becomes troublesome. Things break, things move, things leak, and I like reliability. So I try not to move input air around.
I'm guessing the marker is built from the factory with the tolerances in place for an output pressure that it's expecting.
Well, not only the pressure, but say you get the alignment of the O-rings just a little bit off, a couple thousandths off, then they take or so, and then they start blowing. I learned that by messing around with ions and putting them in things like M1 carbines and stuff like that. Moving an ion board around was a nightmare.
The Ion is the Honda Civic of the paintball world. And if you don't know what I mean, you're not old enough and you need to go look it up. But I don't think I ever seen two Ions of the same. Even in the stores, they were all different colors. Like, you
But
know?
That marker, though, made a lot of people join our sport.
It's
So,
true. It's true. Yeah, no, they were great markers. It was hilarious to see somebody get an Ion and then slap $1,000 worth of aftermarket kit onto it and just be like, this is my Ion. I'm like, that's a monstrosity, but you rock, man. Do whatever you need
Yep.
to
Yep.
do.
Definitely. Definitely. Oh, Neb Nala wants a 98 custom Sten. Okay, we can talk.
Wouldn't be hard. Not a
No,
98.
I've made many of those,
Yeah,
many
just
stents. Yep.
yeah. It would look good. It would be nice, though. It would be
Yeah,
nice.
that's I have one on my wall. It's my favorite. At one time, I made a replacement ball bearing trigger for the 98 CE grip, and I don't make it right now, but I could probably farm it out and start making it again. Made them by hand. And basically, you could actually bounce shoot the gun, and drop it, and it would shoot itself, stuff
Okay.
like that. It would auto fire just on semi-auto just by holding it one place, because the movement of the marker would shoot it, and it was just awesome. So,
Nice. Just
yeah,
hold the
yep,
trigger right and just wiggle.
yeah. I changed the whole geometry of how it would shoot and how the trigger worked, and
That's cool.
it was it's an awesome thing, and that's what's in my stand.
That's
It
awesome, man. That's wild.
has accidentally shot many of friendly fire people on the break because it likes to shoot itself.
So it's like one of the older generation milsigs. Got
Yeah. I was at a
it.
Viper game once, and I cracked my XO in the back of the head, like 15 feet off the break,
Oh.
and he was not a happy camper.
No, I imagine not. I imagine not. Chadbob, again, more questions. He's just dropping them all. Plans on he says thoughts on the future abilities of for 50 cal and 43 cal style markers. What's your opinion on those?
Don't have one. I'll tell you the truth, I'm 68 based. Not really looking to go to anything else.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
Yeah, I think the 50 cal stuff, it makes for some interesting opportunities when you're trying to make something a little bit more compact, but I don't know. I like.
Some of the revolvers and stuff that are out there, I mean, they're cool. I mean, I like them. They're
Yeah.
neat, but
I did a review on the Roscoe, the revolver from First Strike, and it's cool as hell. But it's and I mean this in the right way. Is there what's a nicer sounding word than gimmick?
Well, yeah.
But like
I can
it's
tell you that getting whacked with a 50 cal first strike really hurts compared to a 68 cal first strike.
Yeah, because they're made of a harder plastic. This is what I
Well, and they're
immediately noticed when I got hold of one.
when If you think about the impact point, we'll get into geometry here. The impact of a paintball or a first strike at 68 cal, you're getting hit with a smaller point,
Oh,
so it's
okay.
not spreading the ouch over a
That makes
wider
sense. It's more
area.
like getting jabbed, poked with a finger rather than pushed. Okay, I see that. I was never on the receiving end of those. I was always the one shooting them. And then I couldn't afford to anymore because the damn little things were expensive. But I like the revolver. I like the little 50 cal stuff. It's so, I don't know. I could never see it being my primary. Maybe I would carry one like as like a, I'm going out in a blaze of glory, with it, or it would just be hilarious to try and storm a bunker with just the revolver. Just go officer, like World War One officer style, right? Like just running in with a six shooter because that's all I need.
There's some pictures out there of me running three FSCs at one time, so yeah, and like 20 mags and yeah.
There's time and place. There's time and place for the small stuff, but yeah, I don't see it ever being as big as 68. Also, let's be honest here, the 50 cal paint, they're not exactly putting as much time and effort into making good 50 cal paint.
I haven't, other than I got some Falcon about a week ago for the field, and I really like it. It was shooting really good,
Yeah, okay,
so
good.
I can't say I can't I was really impressed, so
Awesome. Hey, maybe they're up in their game. That's if they are, that's great. That's awesome. Ira Chadlow, why not custom design a Canadian marker?
I made an Enfield once. Does that count?
It should.
Yeah,
It's
303 British Enfield made
right.
one, never make one again. That was the biggest. Never mind, I'm not going to swear. Anyway, yeah. And oh, and I made a oh, I'm blanking. British light machine gun from World War II that fed from the top.
I know I can picture it and I don't know the name of it.
Yeah, that's, I can't believe I can't remember it right now. Anyway, I made one of those, and it's somewhere, I think it's back in the US, but it went to South America and then came back here. So it's back in the US somewhere. There's
It's going
one
to
in
bug me if I don't look it
existence.
up right now. British machine gun.
303 British machine gun.
Okay. The Bren?
A Bren, yeah, I made a
Yeah.
Bren.
Yeah, the Bren. The Bren's, I mean, the Bren looks sharp. Yeah, Chad's there in the chat. The Bren. Thanks, Chad.
Yep, the Bren. Yeah, thanks, Chad. Yep. Yeah, I made one.
Also, like a Canadian marker. I don't like, I'm not sure if Era is referring to like making something based off a Canadian gun, but believe it or not, there's not a whole lot of Canadian designed guns. Even the one we issue to the army is we buy them from the States and then modify them. It's, we didn't even make it. We just found one we liked and made it better. I'll fight you on it too. So, but yeah, there's not really a Canadian gun. If there is, I'm not aware of it, but I'm also not a huge gun aficionado. So if there is, correct me, but 'cause I'd love to learn all about it.
You can go back to 1907 with the Ross rifle, but we
I
won't
mean,
go there.
no, we don't need to go that far back. Come on now. Like that's, come on.
Sorry.
Man, okay. Just a couple more things about with the Angra Custom stuff. I want to talk about like have you built anything one of a kind? Is there anything that you built that one of a kind for a customer that was never actually mass produced? Well, as close to mass produced as you can get. So, got some stories? What do you got?
Yeah, there's a peep. Oop, one second. Let me turn this thing off. Oh, I got a GMRS radio in the back.
Oh.
let's see here. Made a Russian PPSH with a that was fed by. I'm blanking on that too. The loader that the pod was actually filled. It was a wind-up pod.
Oh, the Q loader.
Q loader. Yeah, it was fed by a Q loader. Went to South Africa. That's sitting in South Africa.
That's cool. I've always
That
liked the look
was
of that gun. That's always been really kind of, it's always in the movies. Like anytime the Russian army's in the movie, it's always there. It's really sharp looking. I like the look of it.
Other one of a kind comes to mind. We've all seen Terminator 3. The T1 battle droid with the Gatling guns on the arms.
Yeah.
I made two of those for it for the movie T1. I made two paintball Gatling guns for that the guys that own that T1.
Wait, for the guys that own the robot?
They own the robot.
So there's a robot out there.
There's a real robot that they used for the movie with a pair of Engler Custom T1s on it, or
That's
Gatling guns on it.
awesome. That is awesome to find that out. I wonder what they do with
That's how
it.
I
What,
started
like
making my Gatling guns because they wanted two, and I charged them an exorbitant amount of money, and allowed me to make the because big movie company, at least work for the movies and stuff. So, and I gave them a number that because I really didn't want to make them, and
okay,
they
cool. So
said
you factored in
yes.
like this is the price of materials. This is the price of my time. This is an extra price because I just really don't want to do it. Like
And they paid the bill.
You know what? I say do it. When you see
And
those
then there
movies
was
or
one of those things where you say damn, and okay, I guess I'll take their money.
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's wow.
There was a short run of Halo battle rifles out there.
Yeah, buddy, the battle rifle.
Yep, I made about six or seven of those out of sailboat masts. They were weld ups and all one of a kind, and they all had 98 Cs in them with with e-grips.
Okay.
So at one time. So there's a couple of those out there. And actually, not to get in trouble with Microsoft, I shipped a Halo loader with them. So they were a battle rifle with a Halo.
Ah, I see what you did there. That's awesome. Neb Nella wants to know, did you ever play any games at Fort Blanding when paintball was still allowed there?
I did not. I never
Oh,
made it to Blanding.
that's a shame.
Yeah. Heard lots of stories, heard the horror stories of why we don't play there anymore. And we'll just leave that one. But yeah, it I wish I could have, but it
Yeah.
was, it was travel or make guns, and I was making guns.
Yeah, I think everybody's got one of those stories where it's just like you missed out on that one game. And and now you'll never be able to do it. I mean, I had the chance to play in a Cold War bunker here in Canada, and I still remember sitting down with the boss because we had inventory. I was working for Walmart. We had inventory coming up. So inventorying a Walmart is no small task. And the day of inventory was the day of the game. And I was like, what would happen if I went to that game? And he's just like, just don't come back. And I seriously contemplated it. I'm like, I could always find another job.
I was the purchasing manager for a big box computer store. I get that, and I quit just before an inventory because I didn't want to do
Yeah, no, I've been through a
it.
couple of them. I mean, the boss took us out for food and beer afterwards, so it kind of balanced out. But I missed out on playing in one of the defend bunkers, and it makes me sad just to think about it. Chad's popping in again with more questions because he's that kind of guy. Being in the US, is it much easier to use existing firearm hardware opposed to custom designing, 3D printed, or injection molding parts?
It was.
Yes.
And now real firearm parts are up for 400 to 500% or more from what they were a year ago.
Now, is
So,
that due to the
go ahead.
import export issues, or is that just because everyone's buying them all up?
It's import-export issues,
Oh,
because
okay.
most of my stuff was foreign guns, the MG42, or well, even the Browning 1919 machine gun. Those were Israeli parts kits, so they are not allowed to come back into the U.S. anymore. Things like that. So they were made here, shipped to Israel, and then they would parts kit them out, and I would buy them and make paintball guns out of them, and now you can't get them. So.
That's strange. It's not like Israel's not. I don't know. That's strange that you can't get them back from Israel. I don't know.
Well,
World politics
I
and global
mean,
economy.
gun politics, there are several million M1 Grand Rifles sitting in South Korea, and we want them here, and the administrations won't let them back in.
Weird.
So, yeah, lots of politics involved.
Yeah. That sucks.
Well, and people that own them here don't want their collector's items devalued either, so there's a reason for that too.
Okay, so there's some pushback from the general public too, of just being like, or not the general public, but like there's pushback from the collector side of things being like,
Okay, I'm going to have to answer Corey here. Do you know
yeah, I
where I
meant to
can
ask
find a
that earlier.
Tippmann TCR M4 stock adapter? Because everybody's looking hard. I was the only one to ever make them. I have the drawings. But getting them made is a nightmare because you can't just 3D print them. I was actually having them 3D printed out of a polymer that the NASCAR guys use for and space guys use for it's basically a 3D printed nylon, but it's an industrial 3D printed nylon. And so the guys like in Detroit build car parts and stuff and make a whole car out of this as a prototype, that kind of thing. So that's it's not cost effective.
No.
I've been thinking about putting some of my 3D printed stuff up on the makerspace places and just letting people have it. Giving it to the sport and saying, hey, I'm not going to make them anymore. Here you go. And have fun. That kind of thing.
Chad Bob mentioned it. He says, I hear there's some guys around here using SLS nylon. And that is true. So, Corey, maybe you should reach out to Chad Bob and see if you can maybe get something working there. So.
Yeah, I just don't want people, I don't want, I want to give them to the industry, and if somebody wants to start making them, go ahead. So that's, anyway, that's what I've been thinking about, because I don't have the time to revisit that on my plate at the moment. So that's
Yeah.
where that stands.
Yeah, 'cause you're kind of busy 'cause I want to talk about this. You're now in charge of Command Decision War Game Center.
Correct.
And
And have a
so
day job.
yeah. Right? Yeah. So you got to isn't that just like the life of a paintball field owner except for a select chosen like dozen?
Yes.
Everyone like it's there's a couple that are like this is my full-time job and then others are just like I work 90 hours a week so what when did that happen when did you take over there because last time I was there and I mean I wasn't there I've been there for years but it was Paintball Pete.
Paintball Pete was there. He went and bought Palmetto Paintball down in South Carolina in December, and I took over from him December 1st. Put on our Grinch game 15 days later, and just started rolling a new schedule and going from there. Basically get setting the infrastructure. Got some leased guns from Paintball Pete because he owned all the markers and stuff, so I had nothing. And as you know, as of last December, there weren't any markers in the industry or
Nope.
bottles or anything like that. So I had nothing to start my business with or take over the business with. And by his good graces and a lease, leased me a bunch of 98 Cs to get to stay to keep the field running. So I bought, he had a compressor that was sitting there that I was helping him convert. It was off a fire truck for doing fireman air bottles. So that's our big compressor. It's a
Okay.
diesel compressor that basically is it's it can handle filling 8 scubas at a time or 8 SCBAs. So we got 6 bottles and more CFM than any of our little games can handle. And then for Fold the Gap, we bring in we bring in Larry from Quickshot Paintball and he does our air for Fold the Gap. So he'll be
Cool.
back this year.
That's awesome. So what kind of plans do you have for the field?
They're already started. A lot of upgrading and cleanup and rebuild of structures that are there. A lot of taking the field back to the way it used to be, say 7, 10 years ago. We're in the South. Trees grow and brush grows 20, all year round. So unless you're bush hogging and cutting trees down and you're getting the saws and axes out, things get overgrown. And so you get choke points and things like that in the field, and I'm removing them. Things are opening up and we're moving some bunkers around, replacing a lot of the wooden structures because they have just they degrade over time, and we're just going to do it. So spending a lot of, and of course this is the perfect time to buy wood in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was just thinking that.
We did luck out. There's a place in town where I get pallets, and they have oak pallets, solid wood oak pallets
There
that
you go.
are awesome. And then one of my good friends, Daniel Jones, probably watching. His company that he worked for just got a whole bunch of machinery in, and it was crated in rough cut lumber.
Oh.
And so I have a stack of rough cut lumber that is huge right now.
Awesome.
When we were transporting, I thought about having an armed escort because
I
it's
was,
worth
yeah,
a
I was like, do you have
lot of
private
money.
security now? Like, that's awesome.
Exactly. So, nope. So we're rebuilding that. Trying to think. I mean, that's about what we're doing for the field itself. Is just the Sim City town. It's going to remain a city. You probably played in it when you were there, but it's going to get a facelift and become more of an Old West city.
Okay.
So we have a group of guys down here that that actually play airsoft. Oh, there's that word. they do what, and these are all former paintball players, and they actually play paintball too on occasion. But they like doing airsoft as Old West games, and so
Okay.
they'll go actually do a scenario where everybody's an Old West fighter. So it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, that sounds neat.
So,
I wouldn't mind that.
yep. So we're going to do the city, and it'll still be because obviously Fold a Gap is our bread and butter, and that's the one game that we do that's huge a year. I mean, we do a small game a month every month, but the big game this year for paintball will have, I hope, 1,500 people.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to Fold the Gap last year, and then that didn't happen, which I was really bummed about. But and I probably won't make it to this one, but hopefully next year I'm gonna make it to a Fold the Gap, damn it, at some point.
This year's 15th anniversary.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm gonna be there for the
Yeah.
16th anniversary then, because I.
And I'm going to change up the rules a little bit, not a lot. I'm listening to the players, and having generaled it 5 times, know what works, what doesn't, and what needs to be changed in the rule set. So we're gonna shake it up a little bit and make it a little bit fresh for the players. And it's not really a heavy mission based game, so we're going to throw some missions at it for the teams and players that like to run missions.
Cool. Yeah, I've seen footage from Fold the Gap, and it looks like a ton of fun, but it also looks like at some point you just end up at the 50-yard line just slinging paint at each other.
What's cool, well, the last couple of years it's been that way. You just get, if one team, because of the choke points and the brush that's grown up and things like that, and bunkers that have been added, that are now gone as of last weekend. But anyway, it became a, if you got pushed back into one corner of the field, you could never work your way out. And
Right,
so,
yeah.
but before that, it was the only field in the country I knew that gave you multiple ways to flank and get out, so you wouldn't get trapped. And my big thing is to remove those choke points so that you can actually, if one side pushes into to the other's base and they're 100 feet outside of their DZ and they can't do anything, they can now flank out and get out of that spot. Either side can do that. So, and we
Okay.
used to be able to do that. My first 3 years, generaling there, that was the coolest thing in the world as a general, because I could always get out. If I screwed up and got trapped as a commander, we could get out and have a comeback. And so we're bringing that back.
Awesome. So, Chad Bob there asking questions. What are your thoughts on running large events with multiple teams, like 4+ teams, allowing you to have multiple fronts on the field versus the standard 1v1 dynamic?
I've done it. I've been there. I've done 3 teams. As far as I'm concerned, 3 teams never works well because
It's
there's
always two
always
on one.
something. It's always two. Yes, exactly. And having, here's a story. We did one up at EMR in Pennsylvania once, where the third faction, they thought they could figure it out, where the third faction were aliens that couldn't speak or communicate to either team.
Okay.
So we couldn't bribe them. We couldn't tell them what we wanted them to do. Well, that doesn't mean you
Excuse me.
couldn't leave breadcrumbs, trails, or items that you wanted, in the direction you wanted them to go. And this team would go pick up the awards on their way, and and we would go through and leave, lead that other faction with breadcrumbs like prizes. And they would go pick them up because that's how you won the game, was collect these prizes, pointing at the other team.
So you just led them right into a
So,
slaughter.
exactly. Yep,
Nice.
exactly. Or let them help us. It's like, okay, if they attack here, then we'll attack from the other side. Things like that. So it never works right. It just you always wind up with that. And unless it's a promoter-controlled faction, and I have never been fond of metagaming. That's why I like Fold-A-Gap so much, because in my view, granted I'm biased, Fold-A-Gap is the last player-controlled game in the country, where the promoter puts it out there, and how it plays out. There's no
Okay.
extra missions, there's no extra rules, there's no anything. You know what it is going in. And it's yours as the commander to win or lose.
I like that. I know I've come across some games that I know exactly what you mean about the whole like it's almost like the games, whether it's
Scripted.
consciously or unconsciously, the winning side's already been decided before the game started.
Yes.
Like
Been.
whether it's because the promoter really likes the color blue or something, and blue team just ends up starting in a better spot or getting these missions or you know, they're always or on just even on the side of the field, you know, like you know, one particular side of the field gets better angles or whatnot. So I like the idea of a game being properly run to the point where it's not being run, if that makes any sense.
Exactly. And that's what Fold-A-Gap's always been. And like I said, lately the field itself got overgrown and made that happen. Made one side have an advantage. And so I'm spending the summer removing that advantage. And that way it will play out, and the game will play slower, which I think is more fun for the player too. That they're gonna have, both sides are gonna have to work at this victory.
Yeah,
And
nice. I mean, it's fun to have those high intense battles, but it's also that build up to the intense battle, like a little bit slower, and then suddenly all hell breaks loose. And then just as quick as it happened, it's finished, and then it's back to like, when's the next battle gonna happen? And you're trying to make your way through the field. And I think that's the best, for me, that's the best way to play. I really enjoy
Well,
that type
when
of
you're
game.
putting 1,400 to 1,500 people on 70 acres,
Yeah.
that's, there's always a firefight.
Right, yeah, somebody's getting engaged somewhere.
Right, exactly. And the trick is to not make that, not let the terrain make it one-sided. So.
Yeah, we see now the last time I played, or the only time I guess I played at that field, was, and this is where like I was really attracted to this idea as just I wanted to do it at least once. It was 70 acres, but they limited it to 60 players. And it was so it was mag fed only. Everyone was running first strikes because if you weren't running first strikes, you just weren't competing. And it was some of the most intense gameplay I've ever had because, like, you'd be walking along a trail and there's nothing. There's no sound. There's no shots being fired. There's no yelling, no nothing. It's super quiet. You almost forget that there's another team out there until they ambush you from the side on this trail. And your whole, you know, your squad just gets wiped out, and it's just like, then it's like a mile and a half hike back to respawn. But yeah, it's the terrain there at that field is perfect. I
It's
love it.
uphill both ways.
It is uphill both ways. I've never been so tired after 2 days of paintball. But it's such a
It'll
good
wear
time. The
you
field
out.
has such a great layout. And while I was there, we were playing around. Me and the guys were snooping because you know we were playing up into the whole like we're the Canadians. Therefore, we get to wander into places we were probably not supposed to be in. But anyways, we found ourselves in like a shed that had a couple of tanks in it.
The tank barn, yeah.
Chad Bob's asking about. He says, "What's your favorite platform for building paintball tanks? And what are the best cost-effective platforms?" In your opinion.
Well, it depends on what you want. See, some it, it I built a tank 2 years, 3 years ago for my daughter. She had a Jeep Liberty Renegade, and it was the family vehicle for, since 2002, and she had worn it out, and we'd finally decided we were gonna retire it. And I made a paintball tank out of it.
Nice.
And basically, what I did was I netted the took the windows out, I netted it, and I put a turret in the top out of a pallet carousel,
Okay.
and put put an enclosed netted turret on the top there. There's pictures of it all over the Command Decisions website.
Yeah, I've seen the photos. I might have actually seen it.
And it's got a pair of phenoms in the top that look like 30 cal machine guns,
Course.
and then it's got a rocket launcher in the center, and it doesn't have long range capability because we have a Havoc in it, but that thing in the woods is unstoppable if you're paying attention.
I
You
bet.
can hide in places. You cannot move. You can go places that other tanks can't go because it's four-wheel drive. It's a Jeep,
It's yeah.
and and I've taken it down trails that, people will take four-wheelers up and stuff like that on the field, and people look at me like, "You took the tank down there?" And yes, and it has some dents in the skid plates
Whatever.
and in the rocker panels and some other stuff, but yes, it did it. And we have a water for a place where, we can ford water and stuff, and yes, I went through that, and I went down straight down this one slope that now I have caution taped off because there's no way I'm letting anybody, now that I'm running the field, down there with a vehicle. It's just not happening.
Gotcha.
Especially during a paintball game. You can walk down it all you want. Nobody's driving down it. that kind of thing. But yeah, I like small tanks. I like maneuverable tanks with a turret that can turn quickly. At Fold a Gap, we'll have 8 to 12 tanks, maybe more, on the field at the same time. And it all depends. The field landowner, Ken Spencer, he has two. One looks like a Wallace tank, and it is as close to a 1-to-1 Wallace with periscopes and everything else, and commander's cupolas, and it's got an awesome long range cannon. It is, if you're out in the open, you're dead. I don't care what, if you're another tank, it's done. If you're sitting in a bunker that can be busted, you're
You're
busted.
done.
You're
That's
done.
awesome.
But the turret doesn't spin quickly, just like a real tank. So you've got advantages and disadvantages. So,
Right.
like a Chevrolet, what is it? The Geo Tracker. There's Larry Rivenbark's got a Geo Tracker. We have an all-female crewed tank at the field, and their Geo Tracker is deadly. And again, it's another small tank that's got they took made it look like a real tank with plywood and put a plywood turret on it, so it looks like a real tank, but it's small and maneuverable, and that thing is absolutely deadly.
That's cool, man.
And they like bunker busting, and it's funny. A lot of the tanks at Fold a Gap and stuff, they don't concentrate on shooting infantry. They're more for shooting other tanks, and they go tank to tank. Where when I built ours, I want infantry to run from it,
Yeah.
because two phenoms shooting 12 balls a second, we have shot 10 cases a day out of that thing.
That's gross.
It's got scubas in the back, and it's like, okay, roll. We did a we did one. We were playing one game the first time I drove it, and we rolled a tank, and the first time it was on the field, and there was an area and nobody could shoot through the foliage. I'm like, give me a minute. And I defoliated the area with paintballs, and then now everybody could shoot through it.
We'll clear a path. Just stand still for a second. That's awesome,
Just give
man.
me a second. So it's that kind of stuff. That so yeah so yeah yeah trackers yeah Chad Bob trackers, Liberties, the four-wheel drive Liberty, is just, it's unstoppable. So I think that would be the way to go. And if you're building a tank, let me give you some advice. Don't grab a junkyard vehicle and do it. Build it off a nice running chassis, because the last thing you want to be doing is wrenching on this thing when you're supposed to be playing.
Like, it's okay if the body's a little roughed up, but like, make sure that that thing's guts are good.
It's got to have the drivetrain has to be flawless, or you're going to be working on it, because they sit, the 4 months, 5 months, Between games, the thing will be sitting there. So don't leave bad gas in it. Don't, you know, take care of it. Clean it. We pressure wash our, I see Darlene just tagged me because Kathy Tank Girl Wilson, can she stop us? She can't because she's my gunner. You know, or now that I'm the field owner, the Renegade tank is actually driven by other people and I have to watch it. It kind of kills me. But I don't, since I built it and I got to drive it for 2 years. But Kathy has always been our gunner. So no, she doesn't shoot us. But John Wilson, her husband, kicks our butts sometimes. So yeah, there are times where it's John has put more dents in that tank than anybody else.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
So yeah, because they always play on opposite sides. I don't know how they survive at home,
That's
but
what
they
it
do.
is.
They
That's how they survive. That's the secret to a perfect home life. Just beat the ever-living
Shoot
hell
each
out of each
other.
other on a paintball
My daughter's on now watching. Yeah, he literally kicks our butt with rockets. Yeah, yep. That's
field.
right. And Chad Bob, an 80s van, not unless it's four-wheel drive, you're gonna get stuck.
I feel like a van
That's
would
a
be
big
low to the
thing.
ground. It'd be.
You could put a lift on it, but they just don't have the traction and off-road capabilities. You're gonna be stuck on the roads.
Yeah.
And
Go find yourself an old Toyota 4Runner. Because then they never die. The bodies fall off them, but the drivetrains stay forever.
If the only place I've ever seen a van work well is Oklahoma D-Day, because it's flat, the
It's the.
tanks have to stay on the roads.
I was gonna say they drive on paved, on damn near paved, or it's like
Well,
gravel or
yeah,
whatever, but it's.
it's yeah, they're might it might as well be paved because it's so the ground is so packed down,
Yeah.
and it's flat, so there are really no hills to climb, so and no loose ground. So that's the only place I've ever seen a van work. And remember, I mean, if most tank rules and good tank rules only allow two markers to shoot at once, that's only fair to the player. So you can't have. I've been to games where, they've got 15 guns bristling out of a tank. That just doesn't work. That's a slaughter. It's not fair to the ground pounder. So, let me just put this out there too. I hate tanks. If I'm on the ground and not in one, I hate them.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. Oh, for years I cussed them and said I'd never build one, and then I built one. Well, I built a couple for other people over the years too, but I've always, as a ground pounder player, I've hated them. So.
Or you just do what we did at PRZ. Was it last year or the year before at Operation Honey Badger, big mag fed only game, where they rented a Bradley. So that, and we didn't, now we couldn't shoot from it because the guys were like, this is technically an antique. Please don't shoot it with, or mess around with too much. But we were allowed to do insertions from it. So there's nothing quite as badass as like rolling up in the middle of a paintball field and they drop the door. You scurry out and then you just get the shit shot out of you because everybody watched the tank roll up. The door opens and then they're all looking at you like, what's up, buddy? But you felt like a badass the entire time.
That's got to be a great feeling. That's just really cool.
Oh, it was a ton of fun. I kept getting made fun of though, because I'm only 5'6", 5'7". So the guy who owned it was just like, you'd make a great tank operator. You're short. I'm like, thanks, bud. That's like.
Could you stand up in the back of it without ducking? I'm just want to know. It's
Not in that one. No, I have been in
okay.
some though, because I live, I don't know, how far am I from it? 10 minutes from like one of the largest Canadian Army bases. And they used to do Armed Forces Days. Oh, those were such good times. And there was a couple, there was one I could stand up, and I just can't remember what it was called. Anyways, doesn't matter. We had a real tank. That was great. It was awesome. And what's this now? Sarah Engler, what's she saying? One of the best parts about being airborne at Oklahoma D-Day was being dropped off a deuce behind enemy lines before game on. It made it feel real.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Oklahoma D-Day, the airborne troopers get dropped off of deuces, tailgate drops, tailgate jumps.
Dude,
So
that's.
yeah, real deuce and a halves on a paintball field is an awesome thing.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. That's definitely the way to do it. Michael Alexis Jr. ran face to face with the tank at Oklahoma D-Day 2018. Scared the hell out of me. I imagine it would, especially if you just like turn the corner and you're like, "Hey, look, a car."
There's Michael. Yeah, Michael Rangers. Yeah, sorry, Michael. I did General Com Oklahoma D-Day twice, but I was the commander of the airborne for 12 years. So now 101st all the way, my friend.
Very cool. Speaking of D-Day, has anyone else, because I seen it and I watched it, and I don't know of anyone else who's ever seen this, but does anyone remember the documentary that was done about Oklahoma D-Day and it followed the two
I have it.
commanders? Okay, so
I have
somebody else, so it did actually happen. Somebody else has seen this.
Let's just say that I was I did a bunch of interviews because I was commanding the 101st at that time,
Yeah.
and everything I said got edited and dropped on the floor because I wasn't politically correct enough for their broadcast, so for their DVD. So, yeah, soldiers of paint. Yep, that's
Yeah,
my
that's what
daughter.
it
Yep,
was. That's what it was. And what was
and
it? One of the.
search it. It's still out there and it's still available. And it is one of the best documentaries ever. Other than West Point has their documentary on Netflix right now.
Really? I'm gonna have to go
And
fire up the
yeah,
VPN.
it was a initially called Basic Painting, but now I think it's just called, they changed the name for, oh, somebody Google it.
Yes.
Because they changed the name here. I'll bring get my phone up here. Let's see.
Let's see. West Point Paintball, West Point Paintball.
It's let's see,
I just keep it just says
Netflix.
West Paint Paintball. I think that's did
Okay,
they just
that's what
change it to
Netflix
that?
says.
Yeah.
They could have. Yeah, okay. But yeah, I'm in that. Of course.
That's cool.
But anyway, that's a really cool documentary. And if you pay real close attention, it was filmed over 2 years. But you'll notice that I changed clothes in the middle of the fight. But yeah,
That's
it's
cool.
yeah, West Point put on some really awesome paintball games.
I'm gonna have to go look at that
So,
now. That's gonna be my
yep.
weekend now. That's gonna be a couple of beers and some paintball documentaries.
Yeah, there's nothing like shooting paintball guns with somebody shooting a real M249 or a 240 Bravo next to you.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, they would bring out their toys and shoot blanks as we were playing. And then they would also use artillery simulators and grenade simulators for their airstrikes. Yeah, it got to be quite sporty, as it were.
That sounds
Yeah.
amazing.
It was because they would use get the range to donate munitions for them to shoot. So it'd be a guy, they would shoot several thousand rounds a day while we were in there. You get a battle line and you know how you get stuck and you got two opposing forces and all of a sudden one side shows up, there's two M249s there blazing away, and it would actually change the dynamic of the game. It was kind of fun.
I
It
imagine.
was actually kind of fun.
I feel like if somebody, like, even though they're firing blanks and you know they're firing blanks, but if they're pointing in your general direction, you just like the instinct is to just move on to a new spot. Time to leave.
If there's paintballs coming with the sound at the same time, you're digging a hole. You're it's as one of my good friends said, it was orifice puckering. Anyway, yeah.
It.
Yes.
That's awesome. Okay, well we're at about hour and 10 minutes now, so I think we're gonna wind her down and bring it down a bit. So Eric, thank you for coming on and chatting about all this stuff and dropping some awesome knowledge, and I'm really looking forward to see what you're going to do with the EMF 100. Anything you want to shout out, you want to talk about what, like, well, command decisions, all that jazz?
Let me push command decisions here. Obviously, Living Legends 13 in Fayetteville's this weekend. Unfortunately, they had to take our date because we had it. They lost a field in in Illinois this weekend, so
Oh yeah.
emergency move of field, hopped on my date, and of course now everybody from North Carolina is going to Fayetteville. So we moved our game to the end of the month, and anybody that plays at Legends gets $35 entry for the weekend for the big game that we're putting on in 2 weeks.
Cool.
Plus, they get pre-reg prices for paint all weekend. So if you go to the Legends, you also get to. I want both of us, DJ and I, Hanu, decided we want to support North Carolina paintball, and in the Carolinas. So we decided how can we do that. So he's supporting us in. He's sending a bunch of registrations. I think we got four or six or maybe even eight registrations for his games next year. So you and a friend can go to any one of his games and play for, get registration in 2 cases of paint at any one of the Legends games next year.
That's
So
cool.
that's cool. He's helping that way. And we're basically giving everybody that plays his game this weekend, a discount, big discount, because, our pre-reg, discount, because we want them to come play our game too. And obviously I'm going to hop Fold a Gap first weekend in
Absolutely.
November, the weekend before Cup. So you can come to Fold a Gap. And if you're coming from the north, if you really wanted to, you could camp all week at the paintball field and I'd let you do that and then go to Cup.
I'm so
So,
mad that I can't travel down this year. So
but
mad.
a lot of the vendors and things like that, you'll see Eclipse, you'll see Valken, and a lot of the vendors come to Folda, leave their trucks, and then drive right to Cup State, from our game. So
Yeah.
that's going to be cool. We're expecting 1,500 players. We're expecting to sell out. So if you don't pre-reg, you might not get in. So registration, here's news, you're the first one to know, will be up June 1.
June 1.
So this is a breaking news. June 1, the website should be up for registration for Fold a Gap.
Exactly 3 weeks. You've got 21 days.
Yep. 15th anniversary, expect, coins and patches and swag and shirts and anything you can think of for the anniversary, we're gonna throw at it, and rule changes. So that look forward to those too. But
I'm
like tanks starting
so.
on the field at game on, instead of waiting till a half an hour after the game, they're gonna be there when the game starts.
Storm the front lines with the tanks. Do it. Yeah,
Exactly.
buddy. That's the way
Yep.
to do it. That's
Or
awesome,
run
man.
into and or run right into one.
Or run right into one and hope that somebody nearby has got something.
Ex
Oh.
exactly.
That's.
Yep.
Darlene, the rules to read are crazy. Have coffee ready.
Yeah, and those are the old. Wait till you see the changes. I'm going to make just a page of changes. So, this, okay. Fold a Gap's interesting because we do pre-reg online, and we do our safety brief online. So you can do it and take your test before you come to the game, and all you have to do is take the test and bring your certificate saying you passed the test. And you don't have to sit through a safety brief at Fold a Gap.
That's awesome.
So that's it's and I didn't come up with that. Leanne and Andrew Ferguson, the people that started Fold a Gap, they came up with that. They're college professors, so that makes sense.
Cool.
So anyway, we're going to keep that going. And even our oh we've got referees coming. We got we're going to start with we're going to have probably 40 to 60 refs for 1,500 people. I'm going to spend some money on refs. We got Solstice Law coming, so we're going to bring the law.
Okay.
Bring some professional refs in, and then augment them with our own staff, obviously. But yeah, we got some and oh, and we have a for an assistant ref, we're bringing a Canadian down to help out. So,
It's just one. That's all you need.
oh, just one Canadian. Yeah, Blair Singleton. He's coming down to if he can travel. We're hoping he can travel. by November.
Yeah, that's the hope, right? Hopefully by November.
Hopefully by November he can travel, and he's going to be our assistant ref and manage the ref staff. So,
That's cool.
and the referees actually have a test to take this year too. So, all the referees will know the rules.
That's a big thing, man. I've been to some big games where the refs just don't know what's going on. So when we ask questions, they're just like, I don't know, man. Just and then they eyeball it, and it's just doesn't work out as well.
Bringing 20 years of player experience to running the game. So, yeah.
Awesome, man. Awesome. It's
All the
gonna do
things I
well.
didn't like are coming. I hope so. I hope so. I hope the weather's good. Knock on wood, it's never rained at a Folding Gap. So that's a good thing. Get there early because parking always fills up and camping always fills up, and we actually have an overflow parking lot because we don't have enough room to park everybody on site. So we're
Carpool.
gonna carpool. Everybody's got a carpool.
Yeah.
And we're also actually hiring this year will be the first time we're actually hiring car parkers to park everybody that comes in.
The
So
valet
that way we
service
can,
at a paintball field.
well, it's not valet, but they're
Oh,
gonna tell you where to park and you better listen.
okay. All right. But you know what? That's worth it, though. That's worth it. They did that at Commando D-Day at Commando. Well, it's now Commando Action Center, but it was Commando Paintball. That they had as soon as you pulled in, the first thing you met with a dude in an orange vest being like, "You're parking there," like, and he like wouldn't let you pass. So, it really does help.
Yep, we got to cram in as many people as we can. So that's and make it easy for somebody. And we're probably going to run a shuttle bus or something like that too. We're going to add to it and run a shuttle bus or a trailer or something, because we'll have a trailer with. Oh yeah, that's something else we're adding. We're going to do a zombie shoot during Halloween season, so we're adding that to it too. So we'll have a trailer set up for that. So we might even use that for moving people. But
That's great.
yep,
Gotta
we'll run shuttle
diversify, man.
buses.
Gotta diversify.
If the field was big enough, I'd bring. We got four deuce and a halves, but I just can't get them through all that traffic.
I imagine, yeah. Awesome, man. Well, thanks again for coming on. It was an absolute blast to have you on.
It's a blast for me too. You and I could probably sit here for another hour and a half, but
Yeah, I mean, I could too. Unfortunately, I have to work in the morning. So,
makes two of us. Makes two of us.
but yeah, maybe we'll get you back on a little closer to Fold the Gap. We'll talk about that, talk about the changes made to the field and all that jazz, get everyone pumped up for it. And who knows, maybe hopefully the stars will somehow align and I'll be able to travel like come November.
That would be really cool
And
because I'd
I'll,
love to have you there.
yeah, and I'll figure it out. I'll take a bus and then a cab and then another bus and a train or something. You know what I mean? I'll make it. I'll get there. I don't know how. But we'll figure something out. So thanks for everyone who stuck around, chit-chatting in the comments with us and whoever shared and liked and all that jazz. So really appreciate it. And so go check out, Fold the Gap.
AnglerPaintballGuns.com and FoldAGap.com.
Yeah, there you go. Those are the two websites you need to go check out. And you got 3 weeks to register for Fold the Gap, and you're going to want to, because it sounds like it's going to be amazing. And if I can get there, I will, and we'll see what happens. So, but that's it, Rowdy here. So thanks so much for everyone, and that's it. So till next week, cheers.